Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is number 3 of 15 episodes at Art for Your Ear Summer Camp. Man, oh man, another week of outstanding work from you guys. Collaboration Nation looks like it was a success if the AFYE camp hashtag has anything to say about it. There were an insane number to choose from, so please check them out on Instagram at that hashtag, AFYE camp. I have rounded up just a few of my favorites and posted them on my site, thejealouscurator.com. I also included the piece that I made, so you'll have to go and see that. As always, week 3 at Art for Your Ear Summer Camp is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. I bet you already know where you can visit them. Yes, you can see their online gallery at saatchiart.com. For you regular campers, this info is a repeat from last week, but I just want to make sure that if anyone new is joining us, they know what's going on. The general idea behind Art for Your Ear Summer Camp is this. It is a podcast with a little bit of everything that a good summer camp should have. So things like art projects, new awesome artsy friends, and really good stories. So last week I said I was going to have my totally original, never before invention as my snack today. And I do. Yes, there is a s'moreo right beside me, which I will eat during campfire. I actually made one and used it in my photo for the day 7 prompt from week 1. An old photo of me in my brownie uniform, that's the Canadian version of Girl Guides, with a s'moreo as my head. It was delicious and totally my idea. Although when I Googled it, apparently it's a thing that has been around for ages. Oh well, I will still happily eat one today. So, back to the ins and outs of summer camp. Throughout the summer, before season 2 of Art for Your Ear interviews begin again in September, I am going to give all of us a project to be completed within the week so that we are ready for the next project the following weekend. I'm going to tell you why we're doing it. I will give examples of contemporary artists that I think are really great examples of whatever it is that we are doing this week, followed by a story by the campfire filled with did you knows about a historical artist. So that is the preamble. Time to get our hands dirty. Art project number 3. Shopping list. That's the title of this one. Yes, we are heading to the grocery store for our art supplies this week. Feel free to buy ingredients for s'mores while you're there. Or s'moreos, TM. Using unconventional and cheap materials can totally help get you out of your head and bring that sort of fun, childlike joy in making. So things like paper plates, bags of macaroni a la kindergarten, lunch bags, plastic bags from the bakery department, pie tins, potatoes for potato stamps, whatever you can find. And actually, if you want this to be really affordable, just raid your recycle bin. I bet there are a zillion things in there that you could make art on. So, as usual, I am going to do this too, and I'm going to be sharing my work on Instagram. If you would like to share your work with the other campers, just hashtag it with what I mentioned earlier, AFYE Camp, Art for Your Ear Camp, AFYE Camp. I'm going to do a roundup of selected pieces from this, and I'm going to put them on my site each Saturday. So there's work from last week there now, and next time there will be work from this week. So the name of the game today is Unconventional Supplies, and I have 3 contemporary artists to tell you about. First up, one of my most favorite collage artists, I wonder if you can guess. Yes, Holly Chastain. I love her so much. So being a collage artist, of course, she uses found images and scraps of paper. But one of my super duper favorite things about Holly is her use of old book covers as her base or her canvas. They add so much to each piece. They add texture, color, and sometimes, if she's really lucky, even little notes and scribbles written by the book's previous owner. I actually had Holly on the podcast last year, and she told me that old math textbooks are like gold. Heavy-duty covers and lots of bored kids doodling instead of doing math. And you should see her studio. Actually, I will include a photo in this week's post. She has these huge wire baskets filled with ripped-off old book covers, just waiting to be made into art. much like the paper bags and plastic plates that we are about to get at the store. One of the main reasons I bring up Holly, other than the fact that I love everything she creates, is because just like last week's project, by using a surface that isn't perfect and white, you instantly have a starting place. You can work around those doodles or incorporate them. Maybe the edge of the book cover is a great color that ends up informing your palette. And you are forced to embrace imperfection right off the bat, which is always a good thing. Okay, next up, UK-based artist Claire Brewster. Claire is a paper cutting master, but almost all of her work is made by cutting up old maps. FYI, her favorites happen to be from the 1930s and 40s because of the beautiful colors and the nice thickness of the paper. I think she even said that they are originally lithographs, so you're already working with amazing art. So once again, starting with a simple, totally unconventional material instantly offers up all sorts of freshness. Color, lines, the thickness of the paper, ever-changing historical borders in her maps. And if she, quote, ruins it, there are more maps to be found. Claire was on the podcast too, and yes, I asked all about her maps. I also asked about another material, kinda. The shadows that her work casts are gorgeous and end up adding a totally new dimension to her work. Well, guess what? They were just a happy accident, or as Claire describes them, an incidental bonus. Gotta love those incidental bonuses. Maybe we'll find some of those when we're in the checkout line this week. Or gum. Ooh, or gum wrappers. There's another material. All right, I'm getting carried away. So the last artist before we head to campfire is Lydia Ritchie. I think it's pronounced that right. It's R-I-C-C-I. And again, links and her work are on my site right now. Lydia, she takes, quote, using found materials to an entirely new level. In fact, her web address is fromscraps.com. She's not kidding around. The description on her site regarding her materials list reads as follows. Paper, board, the backside of anything, glue, hot glue, tape, staples, and what was almost thrown away. How awesome is that? She makes beautiful little sculptures with everything and more on that list. She makes roller skates, TVs, vehicles of all shapes and sizes. I find it almost impossible to look at her work without trying to figure out what all of the little bits and pieces are made from. They are lovely and brilliant and not precious at all. Go and check her out. Again, links to her work and Claire's and Holly's at thejealouscurator.com right this very second. So, you can probably guess why I love this kind of project. One, you cannot be precious when you are dealing with a stack of paper plates. At least you better not be. I promise I won't if you won't. Camper pinky swear. And two, it's just fun. I've actually never done this before, but I have to say, I have never been so excited about going to the grocery store, ever. It kind of makes me feel like a kid. I used to be able to make anything from anything. No paper and paints in the house? No problem. Food coloring and a paper towel would work too. My poor mom. Anyway, now, what if it turns out you really love working on gum wrappers or the inside of cereal boxes? I can already hear my art teacher saying, well, none of those absurd materials are archival. They'll never make it long enough to land you in a museum or art history book. Can you see where this is leading? Yeah. It is time to gather around the campfire for a story. Oh, look. Crickets and crackling fire right on cue. Today's historical tale is about, you guessed it, an artist famous for unconventional materials. You know, things like latex, fiberglass, wire mesh, cheesecloth, masking tape, and wax. She also really didn't care about legacy, as you can see from one of her most famous quotes. Quote, I am not sure what my stand on lasting really is. Life doesn't last. Art doesn't last. Okay, art history quiz time. Do you know who I'm talking about? Shout it out, even if you're all alone in your studio. Right, German-born, New York-based artist, Eva Hesse. She started out painting and drawing, as most of us do. but soon moved on to all sorts of crazy things. Clearly, Ava had no issues with experimentation. She was also known for talking about, quote, the utter absurdity of life. Wow, say that 5 times fast. After all, her life was actually quite absurd. So this is sort of her story. If you don't know it, I didn't know the ins and outs either. So I've sort of put together a few chunks from different articles. So I'm going to read through that and give you her background because it's truly absurd. So she was born into a Jewish family in Nazi Germany and then left with her sister on the last Kindertransport, a train that took Jewish children out of Germany to safety. How sad is that? Luckily, she and her sister were reunited with her parents in Holland. They all made their way to New York, but due to severe depression and a failed marriage, her mother committed suicide when Ava was only 10. She then later married American artist Tom Doyle, and when he got a year-long residency at an abandoned factory in Germany, she went with him. Yep, back to the country where most of her extended family had been killed. Crazy. While there, though, her paintings started to become sculptures, thanks to the random scraps found lying around that old factory. And finally, the most absurd and most sad part of Ava's whole story was just as her art career was beginning to explode at the end of the 1960s, she died of a brain tumor at the very young age of 34. Oh, and I just read that the month she died, May 1970, her work was on the cover of Art Forum for the first time. Don't worry, she saw it before she died. See, life truly was absurd for her. There's a documentary titled, quite appropriately, Ava Hesse, by director Marcy Begletier, I hope I got that right, and producer Karen Shapiro. They were interviewed by Hyperallergic in 2015, and this is a chunk from that interview. This is Marcy, the director, talking about an interview they did with Nancy Holt, another American artist and a friend of Ava's. Here we go. Nancy was talking about hanging out with Hesse in her studio in 1966 and looking at this wall of work that was really absurd looking, crazy forms, and some of the first work that Hesse made when she got back from that trip to Germany. They were minimal, but they were also surreal, and she and Ava sat there and just laughed about how completely absurd it was. Ava liked it when the work was more absurd because it was her view on life being absolutely absurd. I have to watch that documentary. Sadly, it has all the drama you'd want from a fictional story. Actually, one more bit about Ava. Like so many artists, she suffered from bouts of major self-doubt. Who knew, right? Like, you assume she's in art history books, but no. Major, major doubt. She kept daily journals that were filled with the ups and downs of being a working artist, including a few letters with other artistic greats. She'd become friends with American artist Sol LeWitt, and in case you've never come across this letter before, I wanted to read it because Sol's got some great advice for her that all of us could use once in a while. Here it is. I might have to bleep a few things out. Dear Ava, it will be almost a month since you wrote to me, and you've possibly forgotten your state of mind. I doubt it, though. You seem the same as always, and being you, hate every minute of it. Don't. Learn to say fuck you to the world once in a while. You have every right to. Just stop thinking, worrying, looking over your shoulder, wondering, doubting, fearing, hurting, hoping for some easy way out, struggling, grasping, confusing, itching, scratching, mumbling, bumbling, grumbling, humbling, stumbling, numbling, rambling, gambling, tumbling, scrumbling, scrambling, hitching, hatching, bitching, moaning, groaning, honing, boning, horse shitting, hair splitting, nitpicking, piss trickling, nose sticking, ass gouging, eyeball poking, finger pointing, alleyway sneaking, long waiting, small stepping, evil eyeing, back scratching, searching, perching, besmirching, grinding, grinding, grinding away at yourself. Stop it. And just do. Amen. Thanks, Sol. We needed that. All right, and with that, it is time to hit the store. Not the art store, the grocery store. Have so much fun. No doubting, grumbling, moaning, or alleyway sneaking. Whatever that is. Just do. Okay, campers. Week 3 of camp is over. I'm going to be watching Instagram for your work. Remember to hashtag everything with AFYE camp, and I will do the same. I'm in San Francisco next week for a few events. I'm speaking at Pixar again. Nervous, excited, all the stuff. And I curated the art for a charity event called the Hotbed Gala. I am so excited about it for a whole bunch of reasons. One, there are 20 artists in the show, including me. Yes, I actually put one of my pieces into a big fancy show. Anyway, all of the artists donated their work. Donated it. And 100% of the proceeds will be going to Planet Hope, a foundation that provides outreach and educational resources to homeless, abused, and terminally ill children. It was started years ago by Sharon Stone and her sister Kelly. So, yes, exciting point number 3, I get to hang out with Sharon Stone. I have great plans for becoming her artsy BFF. I will keep you posted on that. And finally, if any of you are in San Francisco, I'd love to see you because I will be at Book Passage in the Ferry Building at 6 p.m. On Friday, June 9th. So pop over and I'm going to be there doing a talk, Q&A, and book signing. So given that craziness, I am going to postpone camp until the following weekend, which means that you can take a little more time on the projects from week 2, the Collaboration Nation, and this week, the grocery store assignment. But if you're already done and you're looking for something to do, go back to week 1 and make up your own list of 7 things to photograph or make each day. Because habits are good, unless they involve chips. Then you may have some issues, like me. Ooh, and if you want to think about an upcoming challenge, listen to this. I'm going to be teaching part of a course through the European Cultural Centers Academy that is happening at the Venice Biennale in August. What? Yeah, I know. I can't believe it either. But listen to this. The Academy suggested that I make one of our camp projects a contest, a Venice-themed collage. And what is the prize, you ask? A week tuition at the Academy, which happens to be worth 950 euros. Insane, I know. Now, travel and accommodation are not included, but the tuition for a week would be. So, if you can get yourself there, we could make it happen if you win. I'm going to give full details in the next podcast, but start thinking about what you might make and if you could actually get yourself to Venice if you win. How is that for a way to finish off a day at camp? All right, the campfire is going out, so I'm going to quickly eat my s'moreo. Oh my gosh. You guys, do it. And maybe add a little Nutella in there too. Okay. As the campfire goes out and the crickets go to bed, I'm going to say thank you so much to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode. And as always, big giant high fives to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear Summer Camp on June 17th. See you then.